don't have this book, Consciousness Transformed, you need to go out and buy it. Or find the copy that's floating around of the ebook and look at that, because we're going to study these several months, several weeks of classes that Joel gave, some of them the last classes he ever gave on Earth. And so it behooves you to get a copy of the book. It's not that expensive. Okay. We are covering removing the veil. See that tiger? That's my bookmark. My foster daughter made that for me. Let's see. See? Isn't that cool? Anyway, this is July 14th, 1963. Now, before we dive into that, this is called Removing the Veil. There's a chapter in Beyond Words and Thoughts called Truth Unveiled. And listen to what he says about 1963. That's when he's making this talk. Always since my first spiritual experience, living in two worlds has been difficult for me. Living in the higher consciousness and then coming down to earth, going back into that consciousness and coming back down to earth. But never was it as difficult as in 1963. So while he's giving this class called Removing the Veil, he is having a hard time. He's in the middle of an initiation. All right, so Removing the Veil, July 14th, 1963, at the Princess Kaiulani Hotel. Almost everybody comes to the study of the infinite way for the loaves and fishes. Yes, and it's perfectly fine. Let me pause this for a moment. I want to make sure it's working. Well, there's no real way to check on it because it won't give me a file I can test. So if I get to the end of this and nothing recorded, I'll be frustrated, but I'll load it all in and try it again until I get it right. All right, because the other talk, as you know by now, it didn't record the first two sentences, and I didn't do anything except sit here and talk into this microphone. So I don't know why it would change after two sentences, but it did. So we come to the infinite way so we can have better supply, or we come to the infinite way so we can have a better relationship or better relationships at work. Or we come to the infinite way because we want better health. Something's been bothering us and we can't seem to get any help from the doctors. So that's legitimate. That's perfectly okay. So he says, only rarely does anyone come to learn the truth of life. But sooner or later, those who remain in this message are forced to make a decision. That's where you are right now. You're going to have to make a decision. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, God or demonstration. Are you going to serve God or are you going to work for the demonstrations? I see a crossover. I see both of those in our group. All right. As we seek and discover the kingdom of God, the things are added unto us. On the spiritual path. But by then we are no longer interested in the things. Moses put a veil on truth, and Jesus Christ removed it. But remember, if Moses placed a veil on truth, it must have been unveiled when it came into his possession or awareness. And of course it was. Moses received his earliest training in Egypt. He veiled the truth from the people, perhaps because some of them, some early experience in trying to reveal it, or because his Egyptian training had convinced him that truth should be veiled. All right. Now the question is, what is the veil that Moses put on the truth? What is the veil that Jesus Christ pulled off the truth? So if I was going to ask you right now, what is the veil on truth? How would you answer that? Jesus removed the veil and he was crucified for it. Authority, whether in the church or in the government, did not rest well if the people knew the truth. So, Jesus unveiled the truth, and then it was veiled again, and has remained so, except in isolated instances and with very small groups. We're going to unveil it today. Jesus discovered the truth, and he unveiled it. But it was lost rapidly after the crucifixion. About 100 years later, John rediscovered it and revealed it in the Gospel of John. And then he says half of the Protestant authorities want to remove the book of John, when it's the only book in the Bible that has the complete unveiled truth. Probably the saddest revelation that has to be given to man is that the truth can never be learned through the mind. That's very, very important. Without spiritual discernment, it is impossible to read the Gospel of John and understand its unfoldment, or the Advaita Vedanta and comprehend its meaning. This is the way of the human mind, which says, I must believe it, or it is too stupid for me to accept. He's talking about Jonah being swallowed by the whale. It is too stupid for me to accept. That's what my mother said a lot of the time. She was very bright, very smart. She died of alcoholism. She was yellow. She was this color. And she could not get help because she was too smart. All right. If you want to know the unveiled truth, you must first abandon all thoughts or prayers for your life. You must stop seeking material things. Isn't that what he says over in the New Horizon? Probably the experience doesn't come until we've given up our desire for things, people, places, and things. Well, what is the veil? Do you know what the veil is? Don't think about it. That won't help. Go within. What is your insight? What does that voice inside of you say? What is the veil? You ready? I started talking about it a little bit over on the mystical tape side. Everything in life must become impersonal. You yourself must become impersonal without a person. The veil is personal sense. The veil is believing in persons. Here's a good one, here's a bad one, here's an evil one, here's a saint. And so you cannot love, hate, or fear, or fight a person. You must become impersonal. You must put on infinite, immortal, impersonal Christ identity. And when you do that, the veil is lifted. But there's nothing to say that tomorrow morning you won't get up and crawl out of bed and say, "Good morning, honey. Would you like a cup of coffee?" And go get one for her or him. And there's nothing to say that you won't slip right back into the personal life. So he's going to tell us what to do. My peace. If you want the unveiled truth, that is not the Christ peace, nor is it the peace that truth can give. My peace is of an entirely different nature. My peace is something that you cannot know with your mind. Or let us take this: God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you are seeking the unveiled truth, you must ask yourself this question: how do I worship in spirit? How do I pray spiritually? You will see very quickly that worshiping spiritually or praying spiritually has nothing to do with the things of this world or the ways of this world. Eventually, you will come back to that which was taught in Egypt, that which was discovered by Moses, Gautama the Buddha, Jesus of Nazareth, Shankara, namely, I am that I am. I am that I am. This is the teaching that you will find all the way from Egypt right up to Shankara, and repeated since then by every mystic. Now, way, way back in 1979, maybe 1980, I don't remember, I was meditating. My wife was out somewhere, and our child was in bed, and I was meditating in the living room. And suddenly it hit me like a ton of bricks, as they say. It hit me like an explosion. And it hit me from within, not from without. It wasn't anything I was thinking, and it wasn't anything I was doing with the mind. No. It was just meditating, and I took inside my temple, I am that I am. And I know we're supposed to okay. Alrighty. Looks like it uploaded okay for Mystical Tapes. Good. Now we'll check it. Six Mystical Tapes. Okay. There's that one. Now let's go see. Let me pause this. Okay, we got Mystical Tapes all uploaded and ready. Now let's continue with our removing the veil. Eventually, you will come back to that which was taught in Egypt, that which was discovered by Moses, Gautama the Buddha, Jesus of Nazareth, Shankara, namely, I am that I am. This is the teaching that you will find all the way from Egypt right up to Shankara, and repeated since then by every mystic. I am. I am that I am. I and my Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, one. And so you have revealed to you why you must go within, within you. Now I called her because when I meditated on that, it was like, wow, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not a human at all. I am I. And I called him up with that, and I don't even remember what he said, something like well done or something, but he knew it already, of course. Now it's different when it becomes a realization. Before that, it was an intellectual exercise. Yeah, that's right. I am that I am. Just kind of repeating it like a mantra. But when it becomes a realization, a deep realization within, then you know. You know. All right. If you are to worship in spirit and in truth, you must worship the presence of God that is within you. The presence of God is within you. The master not only discovered the presence of God within himself and within his disciples, he discovered it in the woman taken in adultery. He discovered it in the thief on the cross. There is no one exempt from the relationship of oneness. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me. If you have spiritual discernment, if you are seeing through spiritual eyes, you will know the kingdom of God is within me. Now, so Moses had the veil lifted, right? By the burning bush. The burning bush, of course, meant realization. He had a realization, I am that I am. And when you know that, because you feel it, you'll never be just a human being again, I guarantee you. You'll never be able to hate, fear, or love just a human being. So the veil that was lifted was personal sense that Melchizedek or Abraham or somebody else, Isaiah, could be the Christ, the spiritual guru, The veil was put back on when Moses said, I'm not going to tell you what I realized in that burning bush, but here, I will give you 10 commandments. And if you live by these, one day you'll be good enough to take the next step. But then along comes Jesus. Where you are now, the kingdom of God is already established within you. The name of the Father had been known to Moses, but Moses did not reveal it to his followers. Only the high priest were permitted to know the name. And this, of course, is what constitutes the veil. The veil is always on the truth as long as you do not know the name of God. And the veil has been removed once you discover the name of God. Because this discovery requires spiritual discernment. That's the whole gist of the thing. Are you thinking? Are you reading and thinking about what you're reading? Don't do that. I know it sounds crazy. The mind can't show you the truth. The mind is, what did he call it? Trapped in the world mind. It is impossible to read books and discover the truth, even though it is there. Certainly, it is in the Bible from Moses to Revelation. But few have discovered the name of God in it. The reason is that it is veiled. The name is not veiled. The veil is in the mist that covers the eyes. And this veil can be removed only through spiritual discernment. So, to know him aright is life eternal. If you have not found life eternal, be assured you have not known him aright. Jesus was crucified for revealing the name of God to his disciples and apostles, and probably to many of those in the multitudes. I know from having been married to a Jewish lady that they aren't allowed to say God or to write God. They can only write GD. Gid. They're not allowed to say the name. However, the high priests in the temple once a year are allowed to say, today, we will not be crucified for taking the veil away, thank goodness. But neither will we attempt to perform that service for the world. That will be done only for those who are drawn, only for those who in some way are led to where it is being revealed. All right. So that is why I said you could join the study of Consciousness Transformed. All you had to do was ask. Because if you're drawn, it may be time for you to hear it. And if you're not drawn, if it's just intellectual, then you're not going to hear it anyway. And so the master reveals that this God, whom he has declared to be within you, this Father, whom he has declared to be within you, has a name, an identity. I have meat the world knows not of. I can give you water, drinking which you will never thirst. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is there any presence or power but God that could utter such a message? Could anyone but God say to you, I will be with you, even unto the end of the world? Could anyone but God give you living meat and living water? When you learn this identity and the veil is removed for you, something very sacred comes into your life. It is something which, because of its sacredness, you will want to keep holy and secret. Many people really believe that truth should be free, but the master did not think so. Sell all that thou hast for this treasure. Leave all, even if you must leave father, mother, brother, sister. It is worth it. It is greater than Aladdin's lamp. When you discover I in the midst of you, there is no wishing or praying to be done. There is just a life of thanksgiving. All right, so you don't have to pray for supply. You don't have to pray for health. You don't have to pray for companionship. You don't have to pray. I made a talk several years ago called Don't Pray to God. And people were reading the title of that talk and thinking, what the? But that's what the subject was. I found out you don't have to pray. Oh my God, that sounds almost sacrilegious. It doesn't mean I don't acknowledge him in all my ways, which is praying. It means I don't ask all the time for this and that and the other. All right. Okay, let's press on. Now, when you discover I in the midst of you, you will know what to rest in. You rest in the consciousness, the conscious awareness of I in the midst of me. I as a reality, not as a thought, not as a hope, not as a wish. I, the real I, when you feel it in your midst, something else happens. You discover, hey, that's all I ever have to do. If I want to be a healer, I've got to feel that I in the midst. And so Betty reaches out to me and says, will you pray for me? And I say, sure. Because I don't want to give four talks to tell her why I'm not going to do that. So I close my eyes. I don't know anything about Betty. But I know the truth of this I in my midst. And I know the truth of this I in thy midst. And I rest in it until I feel its movement. And then I know this I is on the scene. Now, sometimes it takes 40 or 50 tries because it's something that's deep-seated. Or sometimes I don't go deep enough so somebody else could take it and they'd be healed the first meditation. There are no hard and fast lines here. It's kind of it's a gray area. It's not black or white. All right, so when you know the I within you, you know the I within him and her and her and him and them. And then all you need to do is touch that within yourself, the eye of them. And what you realize here is realized there. We are not going into a Walmart. We are going into tabernacle and commune with the Father within. And if we are wise, we will do this many times each day and night. 10 seconds to a minute or two is sufficient. 10 seconds to a minute or two. 20 times a day. I can just close my eyes and realize, thank you, Father. Thy presence is with me. That is worshiping the Father in spirit, and that is praying. That is acknowledging the Father in all thy ways. Let's see, how much more have we got? Oh, not much. Again, I forgot to see what time it is, but at least I didn't leave the time stamp down there. You must find a period of the day, either early in the morning. Here's an instruction. Don't tell me there's no musts here, because he just said, you must find a period of the day, either early in the morning or after your family has retired at night, where you can sit down and quietly and peacefully realize the Father within me, the I that I am, can teach me, instruct me, guide me, lead me, protect me, speak to me, all through the still small voice. Let me tell you something about yourself, says Joel. This I that is within you was there before you had form, before you had a figure. It sent you forth into expression. And so there's the answer to the riddle. Where was I? Just before the birth. And the answer is, I was I. I was I. I was everywhere. Remember, even before you are born, omniscience is in the midst of you and always will be. It is this very I of you, unborn child, that is sending you forth now on a journey into this world whereby God may show himself forth as you. I begin to die daily. Oh, so now we realize I in the midst of me sent me forth into expression. Yes, it's his responsibility. The government's on his shoulders. I am a reflection of God. And so he is responsible for his reflection. I'm not. I begin to die daily the moment that I begins to be born within me. The moment I acknowledge I within me, in the midst of me, is God. No wonder God is closer to me than breathing, because I am is God. Do you not see why, if you do not acknowledge I in the midst of you, you are a branch that is cut off, withers, and dies? The Father is living my life. The I is living its life through me, and it is not good and it is not bad. There's another one. You have to swallow that. God is not good. God is not bad. God is. Here's another one. God does not love a human being. I know that hurt me when I felt like Mary standing before the tomb. You've taken my Lord away, because I thought my whole life that God loves me. Nope. If that me is a human being, then it's an illusion. You think God loves an illusion? I don't. What then? It's just that when I get into his presence, God is love. And when I enter his presence, I am surrounded by his love. Is God loving me? No, God is just loving. That's what he is. That's what it is. All love. And so, because I drew myself near to him, I get to experience that love. All right. So these are things we have to grapple with if we want to really have the veil removed. The I is living its life through me. It's not good and it's not bad. That is where you reach the place of neither good nor evil, just God, spirit, being without any qualities. Think how it changes the nature of your prayer when you stop looking up or out. Close your eyes and gently look down within and feel, F-E-E-L, italicized. Feel right here, closer to me than breathing, is the very source of everything I shall need in my outer life. I let God express God's will and God's way through me. All right, so that was called removing the veil. And now, I couldn't read that without realizing this other chapter called Truth Unveiled fits right in here. This is the Truth Unveiled, chapter 4 in Beyond Words and Thoughts. Always, since my first spiritual experience, living in two worlds has been difficult for me. Living in that higher consciousness and then coming down to earth, going back into that consciousness and coming back down to earth, but never was it as difficult as in 1963. And that's what we just read, a class given while he's in the middle of this initiation. Never was it as difficult as in 1963. That year marked another period of initiation for me. But even though in 1962 I knew it was to be, I had no knowledge of its intensity, its length, or the nature of the message that would be revealed. With each successive unfoldment, something was breaking through, leading to the teaching of going beyond words and thoughts, of going beyond the mind. That, dear friends, is the veil. Words, thoughts, and the mind. This idea you will find in all the 1963 work, revealing the nature of life as it is lived when you go beyond the mind and beyond thoughts, beyond taking thought, beyond reasoning. This is the revelation of the nature of Sabbath and of grace. All right. In healing work, as understood in the infinite way, we are unseeing and unknowing the corporeal or physical sense of man, well or sick, rich or poor, good or bad. We are not unseeing or unknowing a corporeal man or a physical man, for there is none. We are unknowing or unseeing the corporeal or physical sense of man. The corporeal sense is the veil. The healing truth is our consciousness, our conscious awareness of incorporeal man and incorporeal universe. So when you are touching that incorporeal self in the midst of you or in the midst of someone else, then you're in a high state of consciousness. And healing follows, usually. All right. Moses realized I am and thereby became I am. Okay. Jesus's realization of the need to crucify or rise above the seeming mortal sense of self enabled him to make the ascension. This next line is something that you should never forget. Never, ever, ever. The ascension is always the same. A rising above mind. Above knowing the truth to truth itself. What's the difference? Knowing the truth is when you, maybe you affirm the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And you're meditating, but you're affirming too. And that's knowing the truth with your mind. It won't heal a headache. Sometimes it brings a sense of peace, and that peace allows you to enter within and commune with the peace that passes understanding. In many classes, and even in some of the writings, I have said that I did not understand the reason for the crucifixion of Jesus, why it took place or why it had to take place if it had to. It puzzled me, and I have frankly admitted this. It was not until the year 1963, now put your earbuds on, it was not until the year 1963 when I myself went through the experience of crucifixion that the reason and need for the crucifixion of Christ Jesus was revealed to me. So while he's making these talks in the Hawaii hotels, he's going through an initiation. He's being lifted above the mind so that he can give us that truth. And we can be lifted, or the veil can be lifted off of our eyes. Somehow, after the experience, the memory of it passed from me, and I could not bring it to conscious recollection until later the entire scene was revealed to me again when I went through the experience of ascension. That rising above mind to truth itself. The mind is the veil. The truth, when the mind's not there to veil truth, you can experience it. You can have that God experience. You can experience, like I did that night in meditation, I am the I. And then I had to call someone to see if that was right. That's realization. That's a pow. It's not a yeah, maybe I'll write a thesis on it. It is only in the mind that the corporeal sense can be entertained, not in the spiritual faculties. All right, so the veil is the mind, which sees corporeal sense. Yeah, that's the mind. But when that veil is lifted, then I can see the incorporeal. I can feel the incorporeal being. There must come a rest from the activity of the mind. Taking thought for our life, fearing for our life, constantly knowing the truth in order to avoid some experience. There must come a Sabbath, and in this Sabbath, we live by grace. Because then we do not know the truth, but truth reveals itself to us, and we become the truth. It is not an activity of the mind. It is soul revealing itself, and that's what Herb is telling us. We must get out of that fourth box of the human mind into our soul. A couple more here and then we'll quit. Our ultimate goal must be to live in, through, and as God. If we are not to do this, why did the master teach, take no thought for your life? Life is meant to be lived by grace, without might, without power. It is meant to be lived by every word of God that we receive. There's that word again. If you don't know by now, you haven't been listening. As many as receive these impartations, to them does it give power to become the Son of God. Be receptive to this still small voice. In the infinite ways, students are being fed with the words of God that have been revealed by prophets, saints, and seers. These the students take into their mind and bury deep in their consciousness until they too rise above the level of the mind to where they can live without taking thought. I personally did not create this message. It was received. And always it has been received through listening, sometimes in moments of deep meditation, sometimes in periods of initiation, sometimes on the platform while giving lectures and classes, but always while in a state of receptivity. That state of receptivity has been my hidden manna. All right. I guess that's just about it. Let's have one more meditation. Yeah, it's dark, I know. I'll get over here. Okay. Father, reveal my true identity. Those who are reaching out to me today, let them reach to you, my true identity. Father, reveal the truth without a veil. Thank you so much, and we'll see you or hear you next week.